If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. I'm David Hochberg, your host. We're going to be talking about unitypartnership.org is the name of the website. We're going to be diving deeper into what Unity Partnership is, how they were founded, what they stand for, what their values are, how they interact with the police department and the partnership that they've created amongst first responders throughout the great state of Illinois. This portion of the show and the entire show sponsored by Team Hochberg, which is me. If you're a first responder looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, we got to get the commercial out of the way. Give me a call, NMLS 136675. All right, let's get into it. I'd like to welcome the president and founder of the organization, Regina Brent, and one of the vice presidents. We have Cheryl on here with us, and of course, Lou Jogman, chief of police in Highland Park. Regina, why don't you kick us off with explaining what the organization is, why you started it, and the purpose of what you ladies are doing.
Well, good morning, David. Officer Hochberg, it is.
No. I am Lone Officer Hochberg and part-time minus level radio host at WGN on the weekend. So,
David's got a lot of good qualities, Regina, but him as an officer, I think we'd all be very, very concerned about that.
I went past the mental background check, Regina.
All right. Okay. That's sure. Wonderful. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And it's so wonderful, Chief, to see you, Chief Jogman.
You too.
You look 10 years younger. Oh. I like the beard and everything. And,
Regina, you know how to say the nicest things.
Well, it's wonderful to greet you at the top of the morning. And it's wonderful to see my vice president on here, Cheryl.
Thank you.
To be on here with me to join us for this very lucrative and wonderful conversation, which is very important, especially at this time. Well, Unity Partnership was created due to many things that were not just happening or had happened in DuPage County. We hadn't faced any dire need for having to form an organization, but things had happened all across the country. When it came to Trayvon Martin, Castillo, Eric Gardner, and Sandra Bland. Sandra Bland was a resident of Naperville, and she was down in Waco, Texas, where she was found hung in her cell. And so with that being said, we thought there was a need to come together to try to understand the plight of one another, which would have been the plight of the police department and what they're going through and what they're experiencing every day, as well as the citizens who reside in these areas of where the department's presided over. And one day during the procession of Sandra Bland's funeral, I met Dave Anderson. He was chief of Lyle Department, Police Department. And he sort of was emotional in his face because I guess he was pretty much bogged down and depressed a little bit about the fact about why can't we all get along, you know, and why did this have to land in his territory, but it had happened in Texas. And what is it could we do to come together as a unit and sit down and have a chat, a conversation? So he asked to have coffee. And from there, Unity Partnership was formed. We have wonderful people on the board who come from many different walks of life. They are business people. They are homeowners. They are husbands and wives, and they have children, and they have God in their lives. And so they are very, we have Indian, we have Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics on the board who believe in the fact that the golden rule says we should treat others the way we want to be treated. And so as the years went by, we formed this organization with many chiefs coming along together to meet with us on a monthly basis. And that's what we do now. We have a second Wednesday meeting every Wednesday at 2:30 in the afternoon. And we invite many of the chiefs to come together. Not all of them always come, but they come sparingly. And just as you're doing this morning, on here to give us some type of positive future and hope and trust and loyalty, we know that Highland Park has done all of that for us. As a matter of fact, Highland Park, I believe Chief Jogman has been really dedicated to that 10-point shared principle, policy, and theory that was created by the NAACP, and it was an agreement. And I didn't particularly care for it in the beginning until Chief Jogman came along. And he explained that it needed teeth to it. It needed to have some action behind it. It needed an action plan for us to be able to come together to put something in order to give back to the community so that the community will understand exactly what's on the police plate. And at the same time, the HB 3653 bill was being formulated. And they all came together. All the chiefs came together with the legislators downstate, where we were pushing for cameras, body cams, where we were pushing for lesser penalties for minor defense offenses. They all came together, and they all came together for the police reform bill. And that came a little later. But in the beginning, we were all able to come together, and the cameras came out. The body cams came out, and because we worked together and because we met several different chiefs like Chief Mitchell Davis, Chief Cunningham, Chief Greg, Darien, Chief Thomas of Darien, and many others came together, we were all able to say, okay, we're all on one accord. And that has happened. And then, Lord and behold, we never saw this coming when Chief Jogman recommended us to be nominated for the ILACP award. And so we were the inaugural winner for that award. And we knew then that we were specifically and definitely on the right track.
Well, you're on the right track, Regina.
Yeah,
sorry to interrupt you. I definitely want to share with our listeners, for those that haven't been or maybe haven't seen all the episodes, specifically the 10 shared principles of law enforcement that Regina spoke to. Very, very important initiative that started here in Illinois, and really we're trying to see if we can move it throughout the country, but it was an NAACP and Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police initiative arising out of a lot of the things that Regina spoke to, the interactions that have happened across the country between law enforcement and specifically communities of color, and some of the more high profile incidents. And in a nutshell, after a lot of work and collaboration together, the Illinois Chiefs and the NAACP of Illinois came together with these 10 kind of guiding concepts that help to promote public safety. And the unique thing about it, it's not just 10 things more cops should do. It's actually a shared partnership between the public and the police. And there are definitely things in there the police should do. We respect life. We hold that as the highest regard. We believe in transparency, community policing. We work to engage with leaders from our communities of color. There are a lot of things that certainly focus on law enforcement, but a lot of the same things can be applicable to the public. And one of the ones for the public specifically is that the public kind of has a duty and owes an understanding, to the extent they can, of what law enforcement is about, and try to understand our job so that when you do see something, you may think something because of TVs or movies, but maybe it's not something that really, really, truly we can control, or it's something that is, it's a lot different than you might anticipate. So it's a great concept. We've employed it here in Highland Park. Throughout the state, 400 communities have signed on to it to support it, and they're all doing it in different ways. Mm-hmm. But to Regina's point earlier, you know, she supported the concept, but she really wanted to have, you know, okay, that's great to have it on your wall, but what are you doing about, are you doing this stuff? Are you respecting people, treating people fairly? And that is the goal of the program. And then she also addressed real quickly that, you know, we created an inaugural award for the Illinois Chiefs, an annual award. We worked with the NAACP, and we want to highlight an organization, a department, an individual each year who really works towards those 10 tenets and 10 principles. And, you know, it wouldn't have been, couldn't have been a better choice for the first recipient than the Unity Partnership because of all the work they do.
Well, may I say something, Lou? You came up with a check and balance system for your rank and file. And we knew then that there's some type of oversee type system in place.
Yeah.
So that there would not be a situation where someone's caught surprise about an officer just by their ratings every, I don't know if you guys do it quarterly or every
yearly, month, usually.
Yearly or whatever. Yeah. It was to keep a monitoring system to say who's a good cop and who's not a cop that's producing as much as they should be.
Right.
I don't believe in a bad cop, but I do know there are cops who slack up on some things. But the system, as the system changed, they needed to be well versed about what's expected of them, too. And I just wanted to mention something I would be remiss not to say would be the Naperville Chief Ayers. It was our favorite chief who left and he retired after 30 years. But Chief Jason Ayers, when it comes to the school resource officers program, before when a kid of color got in trouble, they would haul them down straight to the police station. Before you know it, they got a statement of adjustment going on and there was no restorative situation being put in place. So this kid get to become a senior and is going off to college. They got this thing on their record. And we wanted to prevent that by saying, hey, can we get back to that restorative circle? And could we have a three chance somewhat program that, you know, one time is your first time, the second time you're going to get some help, the third time you're out of here. That's pretty much fair. And that's what he did in order to build a relationship between Unity Partnership and ourselves. But then your situation with that Highland Park shooting, you know, we learned very much from becoming involved with one another and building that relationship and becoming something like a family. What happens to you guys happens to us. And that's why we were able to help bring in Jesse Jackson up there, your mayor, her name is Nancy
Rotoring, yeah.
Rotoring, beautiful person.
Yeah.
Welcomed us to come up and he said prayers on behalf of your city. And I was there when that happened. And so we want you to know and all police officers to know, yes, what happens, especially when it's never justifiable to kill anyone, not on either side. But we have police officers out here today who are good police officers from Chicago all the way out to the I-88 that we feel for because this mental health situation is now on your plate. And that's where we want to get to in the future with you guys is social workers, people who can be called. And they do such a wonderful job every month. Mitchell, Davis and Anderson and all the other officers that comes on here, they do a fine job every month explaining to us what it's going to be like to have a social worker to come out when a crisis intervention is needed.
Cheryl, you've been sitting there for 15 minutes and haven't been to work.
So I don't know. Sure
I want to do a health and wellness check on you. What is your position at the organization, and what made you get involved?
Well, my position hasn't been particularly active recently, but I've known Regina for quite some time, and we used to meet often, and we were had a great relationship with. I've forgotten the policeman's name in down near Woodridge. Who was that guy?
Cunningham.
Yeah, okay. And we love David Anderson too. But I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm just supporting Regina. She knows everything about the organization. And
she's a school teacher.
Well,
she's very brilliant.
Oh, no.
She just recently lost her husband, and that's the reason why.
That's true. But I've been this particular item about how racism goes on in our cities and countries, states and so on is just part of my heart. So that's something that I've been involved in for years, and I really want to see things go well between the two parts of the community. And I see a lot of people that very, very really want to have these things go well and for us to communicate in such a way that we understand one another. So I'm just mostly a cheerleader for this. So I can, but
Go team.
But I've been adored Regina as long as I've known her. And she's an amazing woman, and she does a lot of neat things, and she knows how to do this. So we've done a number of different projects with her. The Christmas, shopping with the cops thing. Remember that one? And with that, we did that a number of times. That was kind of a fun thing to do. But, and there are other things that get put forward when they're really good ideas. So I'm mostly a cheerleader here, but I'm happy to do whatever she asked me to do, hopefully.
And Cheryl, you and Lynn have taken some of these very teens that you've met through doing Unity Partnership, and you've hired them. Tell them about the program you had on a yearly basis where you hire them.
We have our church is sponsoring an internship program for high school students in the summertime. And we've done that for 6 years now in the summers. And we put some high school students into various community businesses and places where they have a good time and they get to interact with community people, and it's a wonderful thing. They've loved it. And we're going to be doing it again this year. We just pick up and sponsor these 25 or so kids every summer to take place in various types of community and entities, and it's a very, you know, it's one of the things that I do the most of.
And Chief Jogman, you know, you wanted to try to kick off something with kids because, you know, in the past we have done Shop with a Cop, as she said. We have done backyard parties with the police. We have done bowling events. Remember those, Cheryl?
I've never been to the bowling, but
yeah,
because
we've caught in there with the bowling thing. And the police departments have shown up and bowled with the kids and things like that. I think what you mentioned about your staff that's going to have lesser people coming because of retirement. And we're trying to focus now on how can we get the high schools to have a curriculum that would involve law enforcement. If a kid aspire to want to be a cop, they want to know about law enforcement and things like that. There could be a readiness program.
Yeah.
I know there's another type of program that's out there, but this would be something that they could gain credits from. David, I always ask, when you walk in a room and you don't see anyone who looks like you, there should be a question, who's missing and why aren't they there? And I think in many of these departments, I shouldn't say many, but a few, because they're getting better, there is no representation of the African-American person on the forces. And I just think if we try to get this curriculum into schools, that those particular children, like my nephews, they saw a problem with police. They didn't try to hate on it or anything like that. They joined the forces to make it better. So my point is, in the future, I'm hoping that law enforcement agencies can help us push this particular idea to get to sit down and talk with myself and Paul Scott regarding these things, because we want to know from here on. And I'm not afraid. I'll move this elephant out of the room. Right now, with this future election that has taken place, the future administration that has taken place, we're not trying to go back on that good old boys club where people were misused at times and things like that. What we want to do is go forward with the brothers and the sisters in blue who has worked diligently, like Chief Jodman and many others, to come forward to say, let's work this out. We want to keep that particular rhythm going. And so with that being said, we're going to have to do fast track work to say that we're going to try to involve everybody at the table to see if we can start making more change than what we have already made before.
So what's the biggest pushback that you've gotten from, or have you gotten any pushback? I guess that would be the right proper way. And if you have gotten pushback from chiefs, how do you overcome that pushback to have that initial meeting to allow them to give you and your organization the opportunity to present what you're offering, right? Which is a handout and not a hand down, and not, to get on the same page and to drive together in the front seat instead of one in the front and one in the back. How did you have any barriers to drop, or all the chiefs like, yeah, let's meet for a coffee and talk this out?
Yeah, so I've only had maybe one chief to say to me, Regina, we keep organizations on the outskirts simply because of political stances. And that is not that's not our approach. The only thing I would say, it's been a reluctancy. I wouldn't say pushback, because they're all open to ideas. It's just that you have to understand nothing changes overnight. And because of the rank and file, the chief may be for it, but it doesn't always mean the rank and file is going to follow through.
Right.
So you have to sort of, ease your arm out this lion's mouth, simply because the fact remains that they're not always in charge either. It's their mayors sometime. I know this. And it's also their community at times, because we've had police chiefs who said, hey, when we get those calls that it's a black man walking through the neighborhood, and we get a call saying somebody's trying to break in our house, we ask questions first before we go out and make an approach. So little by little, we're asking them to do more buy-in with us. Help us finance some of these programs that we'd like to do. We'd like to get out there, boots on the ground, and make sure that, COVID, the pandemic stopped a lot of things from becoming a touch and go. You couldn't come in contact with people, anything like that. So we are trying to get back out there now to say, hey, listen, let's come up with, as I said to Chief Jodman just now, let's come up with a way that we can get this particular program in the school system with your support. Also, what are you willing to finance? What are you willing to help finance? Because everything we've ever done, we've paid for it. Unity Partnership. And in the end, when our chiefs retire, we give them nice and expensive awards for what they're doing, because we want them to know that we appreciate. They took a chance on us. We know that. They took a chance on change. That's not easy when you have been indebted so long for doing things one way. But sometimes they're not cognizant of it, and it's up to us. I blame the citizens. Come forward. If you have a person in your home that has mental challenges, go to that chief and say, hey, this is Ricky Johnson, and he has a mental challenge. And if you see him on the street, here's my number. Give us a call. It's on us to do that as citizens, because the police are here to serve us, and they don't know our needs all the time. But when they come in contact and they don't know who you are, then that's on the community as well as it is the police departments.
So David, real quick, I just want to add a couple things. Regina, you said something I think really profound. You said that we're taking a chance, on you, but you're taking a chance too. I mean, you're taking a chance on us by making this overture and reaching out. And I think that is really what is so special about your organization. Yes. I think about the example used in Naperville. And had you not reached out, had the relationship, to have that conversation, it wouldn't have happened, right? Yeah. So building the relationships, but you and your organization have taken such a unique approach. And where I can tell you, it's meaningful to officers, and you need to hear it. And I hope you hear it enough, but you probably can never hear it enough. You know, officers do feel sometimes that maybe the community is against them, or they feel it's us versus them. And we can't have that because we're all in this together. But you reaching out, again, you have a good balance. You certainly want accountability, and you want a certain police officer need to be held accountable, but you also support. You do both, which is not necessarily done a lot from different organizations. And I know that really means, right. And I know the officers value that because they get it. Hey, you can hold us accountable. Boy, you support us too. Okay, I can work with that. Mm-hmm. And then to your last point, the one I think is you hit on that's really, really important is we need to build police departments that reflect the complexion of their community. Mm-hmm. To your point, 100%. So that's why number 9 of the 10 shared principles is we support diversity in hire and hiring our officers. And I agree with you. Whatever we can do to get our young people at least to understand the profession, there are some really good young people out there who want to contribute to their community. Yes. And this is a really good way to do it, to keep your community safe. If you do it lawfully, honorably, ethically, mm-hmm. it's a great career, a great profession. You'll walk away knowing you've really helped keep people safe. And we have young people that want to do that. But to your point, they may not feel comfortable, depending on if they walk into the room or if they don't have advocates like you. But that's, again, what is just incredible about your organization. You are of the people, part of the people, and having the understanding and relationship with the police, you can be that connection to get them connected to us because they're going to have trust in you, mm-hmm. have relationships with mm-hmm. them.
That's true.
You have trust in us because we're working together and we're earning that trust every day. And so this to me, when we decided to do this podcast, David and I, he'll remember, you were definitely top of mind, the Unity Partnership, that we wanted to expose our state, people that listen to, because you are the model. You are absolutely the gold standard about how this can work and should work. Mm-hmm. You're not just, again, fans saying, you guys, whatever you do, we support you. No. You definitely need to do the right thing, and we will support you. Mm-hmm. And I know you've shared with me that when officers have been injured, you've sent them things to the hospital.
Yes.
so you do. And then when officers have not done things right, you've called it out. I mean, and that, Regina, that is the gold standard. And if we could get the country and everybody to do what you've done, and you took a chance by reaching out to us and didn't know what the response would be, to David's point. But you did it, and just so proud to know you and your organization. And again, I just, if everybody could be like this, we would have way less problems, for sure.
I have a son who's a Black man who travels in and out of here, and a grandson as well. But I'd also be remiss not to mention the fact that the team consists of not only the police department and the citizens, but it also consists of the state's attorneys.
Oh, yeah.
The state's attorneys that you work with. And Bob Berlin is just an extraordinary state's attorney. He takes out the time to come on our calls every month. You get the videos, I'm sure, every month. I make sure we record them like you're recording this so that it could be passed on to those. And I get a request from people I don't even know saying, may I review this video? Because your work is just not staying here on this Zoom. I put that video out, and it can be transferable to anyone to see the work that the police departments are doing. Also, we have been honored to have, at that time, Deputy Larry Snellings from Chicago on our calls every month. And he was able to give us some type of productive directions on how to deal with the community from Chicago all the way out here to Western suburbs. And now he's the superintendent of police in Chicago. And I tell you, his job is very, very heavy. I send him our condolences regarding his officers that are being killed on a monthly basis. And we have attended those funerals. You can't do enough to try to build relationships for the sake of the greater good. It's all about the greater good. Because all of us have children and all of us have families, and we never know when our children are going to run into the law, not knowing who they are. They may tell them who they are, but it doesn't matter, just as long as they are being treated. I said, it doesn't matter if you stop me in a traffic stop. It's how you leave me when it's all said and done. Do you leave me with my dignity, self-respect? Because I'm going to acknowledge possibly what I've done, which I'm wrong. And if I don't, it's okay. But as long as I'm being left with my dignity, I can respect the fact of being stopped at any time.
Lou, I got a question for you. You and other chiefs get solicited, get calls, get by organizations all the time, right? So how do you guys and the men and women chiefs differentiate organizations like Regina's and Cheryl's from other organizations? Because there's only so many time, you know, I hours in the day. You've got staff meetings, you've got 400 things going on, right? Somebody's knocking off the 7-Eleven around the corner, you know, all the crazy stuff's going on. How do you, as a chief, decipher great organizations like Regina's and Cheryl's from other organizations that are just in it to get for other nefarious means other than what Regina and Cheryl and the board of Unity Partnerships trying to accomplish?
It's a great question, and you're absolutely right. There are a lot of folks out there. I would say, just like in the police world, most are very good and well-intentioned and want good things. There are some that, you know, may be self-serving, and you have to try to figure that out. I think an easy answer is this, and I was thinking about it as we've been talking. It is really, words are one thing, deeds are another. And you can see in the partnership that their deeds speak for themselves. There are a lot of people, again, that are well-meaning. They really do want to contribute, and maybe they talk and think of things to do and want to do things. But taking that talk and moving it into action is really what differentiates a great organization. And when I think of all that Regina and her crew have done over the years, the actual action, and they've sustained it. You know, they've been doing it and growing it over the years. Then you know you've got, again, a gold standard program. You know, if you go to their website, and again, want to make sure everybody knows it, it's unitypartnership.org. Mm-hmm. You will see a litany of things that this organization is doing, all for the betterment of the community, the partnership, the relationship. I know Regina has story after story, like the one from Naperville. You know, their action is what differentiates them from other people, again, who are well-meaning. You know, they want good things. They just don't maybe either know how to organize it well or can't get it going. But that really speaks to, and that's why I'm just so impressed and proud to know and work with the Unity Partnership, because they have taken, again, well-intentioned ideas, and they have just really pushed through. They've grown the program. They've grown the partnerships. And again, I think you can see Regina and you can see Cheryl and you can hear from them. They're passionate, they're sincere, they're reasonable, and those things all come together. And that's what I think resonates, certainly on my end. I mean, you get to be a pretty good student of people in law enforcement and can be read people generally. And just in working with them and the people I've worked with at the Unity, I know they're just sincerely good people, but yet again, hold accountable. They're not just people who are saying, yeah, you can do no wrong. We love the police. That's not it. We don't need that. We don't want that. We want to have good partners who hold us to account, just like in a marriage and a relationship. You know, you want to have all that. And that's what this group produces. But yet they do support, as you can hear, when they get the pain we feel when we lose an officer. And I think the feeling is mutual on our end when one of these big events happen. You know, we've had them happen in Illinois and throughout the country. We feel the pain, and we feel it because we now have personal relationships with people from that community, and it does make it more personal, and that's what's needed. And then I do want to throw this in. Regina's spot on. If you can't just have the chiefs buy in, I've got 60 officers. Mm-hmm. I can be having this conversation with you, and none of them could care or not. It's not going to work. It has to be taken top down through the bottom. And that's why here in Highland Park, and I know a lot of agencies are working to do this, our framework is the 10 shared principles, which really addresses all the things we're talking about. And it is pervasive through the organization. It's in our policy, so you're held to it. It's not just something hanging on a wall. When you're disciplined, it's, you know, it's mentioned which one maybe you weren't your best on, one of the 10 shared principles. You might have missed the mark that day. When you're, you know, when you receive recognition for doing good work, same thing. You really did a great job with this 10 shared principle. It's in your evaluation. It's part of promotions. It's everything here. And my officers know it top down, bottom up. It's because they know it's important to me, to the organization, to our community. And I believe they believe it. When they can recite them, and you know, they you see reports, and you know, and when you interview them for positions, and they come up, well, you know, I really, really work on this number first principle of treating people with respect. This is how I do it. Yeah, no, it's throughout the culture. So we have a framework, and it's a great framework. We have partnerships. We are so far ahead. I know from where I started in my career in 1993, definitely work to be done. I think ladies would agree, but yes, we're all in it to make that work happen.
And so, may I jump in, David, on that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing of the matter is, listen, I worked for the Attorney General's office for 30 years. I served 4 Attorney Generals, and I served 4 mayors of the city of Chicago. And I have to tell you, at the Attorney General's office, I was that receptionist that you saw. I was the first line of authority you saw when they stepped off the elevator. They didn't know anything about Neil Hardigan or Lisa Madigan or Jim Ryan or anybody else. They saw Regina Brent. And based on how I treated that citizen was the reflection of that office. That was the perception of that office. I say that about the chiefs. The chiefs are the first line of authority you see. But when I walk the street and I ask a cop in the car, hey, tell Lou I said hi, they look at me like, who are you? And I said, I'm Regina Brent from Unity Partnership. Or Paul Scott can do the same thing. They don't know us a lot of times. The rank and file doesn't know it. So what's going to happen in the future, Lou? You guys are going to get a 10 question survey about your rank and file. And we are asking the chiefs to have them fill it out based on their perception of their rank and file and what they think and what they know. Mm. I think the person that could be the person that I was to the Attorney General is your community officer. Those officers that deal with community, not your arresting officer, but the officer that deals with your community outreach. And then that sort of minimize it. I also want to say that Paul and I have the privilege to address the cadets, the recruits at College of DuPage on a monthly basis, or every 3 months it is.
Oh, you go to the police academy when they're in training and you get
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. We've done that. And Ross is retired now, so I hadn't heard from them, and I'm going to call them and find out what's the status of our position from here on. But we get a chance to address the recruits from all over the state of Illinois sometimes, and we get to tell them that when you do hit the streets, go to that little lady who has that candy store on the corner. Talk to those old gentlemen who are sitting on the corner. I don't know if they're doing that these days since they're having drive-by shootings so much, but go to that person that everybody knows in that community. And when you talk to a kid, don't talk to them from your badge. Talk to them about what you were when you were a kid and how well you've come up to become an officer to serve the people. And that makes a good level
impression.
Trust. And loyalty, and they'll tell you whatever's going on in that community.
I got a question for you, ladies. So what, Lou? About 6-8 weeks ago, we had the two gentlemen, or was it three gentlemen from the NAACP Chicago chapter? Were you on that show? I think you were on that show, Lou. The
which one was it? Venture Principles?
No. It was the. It was the Illinois chapter of the NAACP. We had those two or three gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ladies reach out to those organizations and try to partner with other organizations like that that have similar goals? You know, the National Advancement of Colored People obviously is something. Would that be something? How do you work within those other organizations that you have shared principles with?
The first organization I ever joined when I moved out to the western suburbs was the NAACP DuPage branch.
Okay.
That brother is like a brother to me. His name is Michael Childress.
Mm-hmm.
And we form Unity Partnership. And when we would get these things about school resource officer complaints and things like that, Mike and I would get together along with the Quad Urban League, Theodia Gillespie and many others. We would come together. I think Dr. Mosley and other ones have been with us to go and sit down and talk with the chiefs as well as with the superintendent of schools and the principals. So yes, we're well involved with, I'm a member of that organization. So yes, we're well involved with them. And they were part of that. Well, they were actually the author of that 10-point shared principal plan. They worked with Lou and then they went downstate and worked with other chiefs that were from downstate. So yes, we are very much involved. Michael Childress.
He's been there a long time.
Very. He's up for re-election, and now he's the first African-American county board member in DuPage County.
DuPage County's been a lot of more Democrats moving out to DuPage County.
I would say a lot of more people who knew at one point in time that these cities were somewhat down sundown cities.
Yep.
And because of the representation that we have over us out here, we feel welcome to come out here and live.
Great.
I don't think it has much to do with politics, because at this point in time, I can tell you I'm pretty fed up here.
I think everybody
is. I'm down the middle.
I think everybody is.
I'm down the middle.
Yeah, everybody's fed up.
Yeah.
So I have a question, or at least I want you to hit, because I know I'm looking to keep an eye on time. I always do to make sure we don't miss something important. Can you tell the listeners again, just maybe some of your top three experiences you might have had, programs? Like I said, there's so much that you do. And again, I know you've done things for officers when they've been injured. But really, if you had a look back, either of you or both of you, you know, what is something you're most proud of, the work, a program or an initiative or an event or something like that, that you're really, really proud of the work? I'd like the people to know, you know, they know kind of after now hearing from you the high level of what you do, but I'd love like a specific example or two of something you both took some real pride in.
Well, I would like to comment about Regina and her family, about the shoes. Remember the shoes? That was a big deal. All the shoes that would get.
That's one that I was thinking about. So
I was thinking about that too. It was quite interesting.
If you could explain to the listeners what that was all about.
Yeah. So go ahead. My nephew, his name is Jason Maiden. You can Google him. M-A-Y-D-E-N.
We'll say hi, Jason, if you ever watch this. Jason, good to see you.
He ventured out from Nike, went on his own. He was the top designer for Michael Jordan.
Mm.
And he, after several years, you know how these young people are. They love instant businesses. They think they're ready. So he branched out on his own, and it was called Superheroic. And he designed his own kid shoe because of his kids. And he thought that kids were growing up too fast. They need to be a kid again, be able to go to the playgrounds and play again without any fear. So he designed this shoe. And of course, the pandemic was hitting tough. So he had 7,000 pairs of shoes he could donate to us.
Wow.
And Cantigny Park and another gentleman from up by you, near Highland Park up there, donated $5,000 for us to have those shoes shipped from California to here.
Wow.
And the shoes were worth $79 retail. They came in a tube. I wish I could show you the tube. I still have one or two. It came in a tube, the shoes did, with a superheroic cape that turned into a book bag. And some type of coloring book or something was with it.
Mm-hmm.
We were blessed to have someone from Schaumburg in that mall up there. I can't call a mall.
Woodfield?
Cheryl.
I don't remember the name either.
They gave us a store space.
Yes.
And we took those 7,000 pairs of shoes and we spread them all over the state of Illinois to police officers to have a relationship with their elementary schools within their area. And we went around to each one of those. We had them to set up a little program issuing the shoes to the children so that they would kneel down on their knees
and place those shoes
on those soles. And they did that.
Yeah.
That was something that we didn't get a good return from as far as a relationship for them to want to invest in us financially, but we don't regret it. It was the highest point. But I want to say another high point, Lou, and I think was a very good accomplishment, is when Chief James Kruger, who was over Oak Brook at the time, you know, he was like you at some point in time, president of ILACP. He brought us in and he gave us the opportunity when he was at the McDonough Corporation having those meetings out here in Oak Brook. We became the front page of the police magazine. That put us on the map. Very proud of that. And I must say, the third proud moment of our existence is when we can award those who, in the end, we see retiring that did a lot for us. And we give them beautiful Martin Luther King Open Door Awards to make sure that they understand that what they did was not in vain. The chances they took was not in vain. That we respect what they did and we will always remember that. And they will be the beginning of change. And in the end, responsible for change. So those, I could say, are the three most accomplished and not, and the appreciation of my people that are on the board. That's a great accomplishment for me, that someone would trust me enough, because they don't always see my vision. Yeah. And I step out sometime when they least expect me to, but they don't regret it in the end because I make well of it.
So again, Regina, knowing the project that went on with the shoes, it was a huge, huge undertaking.
7,000.
And David, your question earlier about why you can see one group rising above others, it's because of like things like that. When you watch, listen, a lot of people have great ideas, and again, they're well-intentioned, but bringing something like that to fruition takes a special person and a special group and a special team. And what a great concept. So to conceptualize it, and then again, there are a lot of logistical issues and things. And you're all volunteers, right, Regina?
Yes, nobody's yes we are. Nobody's, no, we don't get paid for anything.
That's but right.
Jason is back with Nike.
Yeah, well,
he's
good.
Back with Nike, and guess what? He came here this year, went on the south side of Chicago, got the police department to participate with us, and they did a workshop with children in the elementary school.
Regina's vision, and she could have done that program and just got the shoes out to the kids. You know, Unity could have just done it on their own, but she saw a vision and an opportunity for the police to be involved.
Absolutely.
To better the relationship, to better the image and reputation, and that is what is so special about you and your group. You are thinking about that partnership and that relationship all the time and working on it and putting yourselves out there. That is a lot of work. I mean,
David, may I say something? The worst thing that could have happened, the bad thing that could have happened, that's not many at all. We only have one. I have one. And that is my co-founder, Mr. Robert Allen.
Yeah.
He lost his life. Mm-hmm. He had a little card club in Chicago. And at that time, Barb Marshall told him, said, listen, if you see some kids in need in Chicago, give me a list. And at Christmas time, we'll honor that too. And when he was there, on his way back home, he was gunned down. Mm-hmm. He was ambushed in his car. Mm-hmm. He was killed.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's the only darkness that I see when it comes to thinking about Unity Partnership and in the end, what will all be said and done. Mm-hmm. And that is, he would be a lifetime co-founder of this organization forever.
Yeah, but it shows his commitment and, you know, truly, our work is not without risk, unfortunately, and even in yours, unfortunately, that happened. But
his legacy and what he was able to do. We look at it the same way when an officer's gone, you know, they're gone and we're devastated, but we do try to take some solace in the fact that while they were here, the work they did, the people's lives that they've impacted, they're better for it, the people they touched. And so similarly for him, he's touched a lot of lives and he's left his mark and legacy. It is tragic and heartbreaking, but unfortunately it is the world we're in as well.
Doesn't his son participate in Unity Partnership?
Yeah, at times. His wife. His wife, okay. Carol Allen, she does.
Okay,
participates.
I thought I had met his son at some point.
Oh, yes. He was on the board at one time.
Yeah, I thought so.
David, I know we're getting up against the clock. Is there anything else you want to
add? Yeah, I just have two things, lady. In the future, when you do something like the shoe and initiative or whatever the next initiative is, and you want to get some sunshine on it, right, and get some PR on it, you know, just give me a call and I'll get you connected with my media sources at WGN Radio and WGN TV and make sure that they send a truck out and have you ladies on to promote it and lend some sunlight on it. So you know, Lou's got my information. You go to 56david.com.
I'll get you. You know what? We're all friends here, so I'll make sure I get them your number, David.
Yeah,
so
please do.
Is all about
Patrick is very good there at WG, and he's covered us back in the day.
Patrick.
Is it Elmwood?
Southside guy, right? He came from Mount Greenwood area. I think he was.
Yeah.
But if you want to get on WGN radio and get a little sunshine on the radio aspect of it, Patrick's great. He's from the Southside. My sales rep and him grew up together and I think went to the same high school. It's all the Southside Irish. There's like 2 degrees of separation.
Yes. He's big on getting that Irish haircut every year for
But if you need help on the radio, by all means have Lou reach out to me. And number two, what's in the water that we could get clones of you two ladies to do more good things in the mass that you're doing it to exponentially do more positive things and get more people involved to be, you know, have this partnership with the police, with the community, and try to just, you know, continue to do good. You know, what do you recommend to those that, you know, that are watching that you two ladies have inspired? What do you recommend? Reach out to you, find out, you know, join your organization, start your own organization. You know, what do you recommend for people that our viewers and listeners going, dang God, these ladies are changing, are making a difference. I want to do the same thing. What do you recommend that our listeners do to get a hold of you or start up their own type of organization?
So as again, my name is Regina Brent, and you can reach me at Regina, Regina.Brent, Brent, at unitypartnership.org. It takes interest. It takes someone who wants to make change for the betterment of their community. It takes you to want to know who's serving and protecting you, because that's very important. I recommend that people go to their police departments and extend their hand and say, hello, chief this one or chief that one. My name is this and I live here. And if it's anything I can do to help you serve, let me know. That's all it takes.
Right, Lou?
You can't ask for anything better than that. This is going to be one of my favorite episodes, Regina. you guys are a special, special group. You're special people. Sincerely, again, from a law enforcement person, I got to tell you just how much this means to us to hear that. And that's why I knew your group was different and distinct from others. Again, well-intentioned, but you really, really are making a difference, and I know you'll continue to. And if there's anything clearly on our end, we're in it to the end. But you are inspirational, and I hope our listeners do reach out, and I hope we can grow even more, awareness about your efforts and just how you're doing it, and people.
And we will come. We will come to your area if you have If you have village town hall meetings of any sort, we will come and we will speak to the people, because we're not always asking them to join all the time. We're asking them to make it known in their community that there may be someone in need of representation who looks like me, that don't understand the zero tolerance of your community. And that if we could come in as a very multiracial type group, and also a well diverse group when it comes to police and women and men and teachers and educators and things like that, it makes a lot of sense to say we're all in this together and we're ready to help serve whoever that's in need.
You couldn't have ended it on a better note. That is a great
Cheryl, you have anything you'd like to add?
No, we're good. Thank you.
Well, I just want to do a health and wellness check on Cheryl. Are you all right down there? We don't have to send any paramedics over to your house, do you?
No, I'm fine. Okay. I just wanted to know what city you're the chief of, David.
Me? I am chief of my house in Northport, Illinois. Actually, I am deputy chief. My wife is chief of my house in Northbrook, Illinois. I'm a mortgage professional. I do mortgages for a living. I also, as Lou mentioned earlier, I host a show, Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's a real estate show, Saturdays from 1 to 3 after Lou Manfredini on WGN. So you don't want to have me anything near. The only thing you want me to do is drop by, drop off some waters and some pizzas and say thank you.
Now, to be fair, he did go through the Northbrook Citizens Police Academy so he's kind of certified, but that's about as far.
Okay.
Once they saw him, they knew that was about the extent of it, and there's no more for David. But David,
as I've mentioned on previous shows, I failed the a simulator test.
Yes.
I accidentally shot a guy in a school situation holding a cell phone with what I thought was a gun, and ended his virtual life. So
and your virtual career.
And my virtual policing career.
Okay. So David,
you're not alone. You're not alone, right, David. I did the same thing when
you the same.
Used a simulator. But I wanted to say this right quick.
Yes, ma'am.
We're boots on the ground, but we also need financial support. And it doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take a lot of money. It takes a lot of energy. And that's what Uni Partnership is willing to do, is put in the energy. And while I'm doing Uni Partnership, I'm out here building relationships with the MLK Project. The MLK Project is a project that back 8 years ago, the breakfast was discontinued out here in DuPage County by Benedictine after the Dr. Carroll left. And there is a wonderful gentleman. He's no longer with us. His name is Daniel Goodwin. I'm sure if you Google Daniel Goodwin, you'll know Daniel Goodwin owned half of DuPage County, along with other properties across the country. But he decided that it was time to reinstate that MLK breakfast again. That happened in 2023. We invited police departments, but no one showed. And I'm hoping this year that we will get that invite out to you, Lou. We'll get it out to you.
Please do.
And other chiefs.
So that we have one. Oh, sorry, Regine. We have one here, and we're there every year. I mean, Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. We have a special event
in Highland Park.
Yes.
Send it to me. We'll make sure.
I will. Over 1,300 people came to Drury Lane in 2023 in a polar vortex weather.
Well, we'll get
there. I heard cases and stories where people say in order to get there, they had to heat their keys up in hot water.
commitment. That's commitment.
That's a commitment. So this year, we're going to have Rosa Parks' attorney, the woman who sat on the bus at back in 1950-something. Her attorney will be, he's 93 years old. He will be our keynote speaker.
Nice.
And we're going to have a beautiful three-choir concert there. It's going to be lovely. So, Lou, when I send you the invite, please extend it to Nancy for me.
I will, 100%.
And just give her our best and our regards. And you guys hang in there. I think you've done miraculously well after such trauma.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
Well, knowing that we've got you out there and you're honestly, it makes it a lot easier to hang in there. So grateful again to hear, and I'm so happy that people can hear
the information. Our listeners will be able to go to unitypartnership.org if they want more information. But it's been incredible to hear and to spread the word. So thank you both for being here today. And I'll let David finish. He gets very upset.
We'll wrap this up. Thunder, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Cheryl. David. Nice to see you. Take care. Share my information with David.
I will.
We will. This has been another episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. If you like it, click the like button, share it, and let us know your thoughts. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.